The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
Thank you ever so much for joining us once again this evening here in the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age, and it's a pleasure to be back with you. What I'll just call the full Monty, the full version of the Anomic Age once again. I'm probably going to be a little bit hard-pressed to wipe a little bit of a smile off my face this evening, even in lieu of the complete depravity and insanity that's going on in the real world, or in the Anomic Age, as I refer to it as, because we're finally up and running again in what I hope to be a regular basis, just as we always were in the past, and doing what I believe I should be doing, which is do this show. So I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. Even happier to bring a guest back on the show again. And to be full disclosure, I'm recording this intro after we've already recorded the full show. And I'm leaving out a whole lot of the show. We talked for so much before and so much after the show. I'm just giving you the full interview. And in my humble opinion, everything else was as entertaining and interesting, if not more so. But I don't want to make it a 3-hour show, so I'll just leave you the interview with Mr. Jason Edwards. We'll forego any sort of news blitz or anything like that today. Why do that? Well, we could just discuss and get into the heart of the matter with our guest. But before we do that, please check out AnomicAge.com. Share that link with your friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. If you are so inclined, from AnomicAge.com, you can also make a donation from the PayPal link or make it a regular thing at the Patreon link. I would highly encourage you to do that, if at all possible. And the usual suspect stuff that I always forget, please download the app. We got the iPhone and the Android app. You can check all that out on iTunes as well if you just want to listen to it on iTunes. But please, if you got some time, like the apps, like the podcast, like all the social media links, subscribe to all the social media links. As I've said before, kicked off Twitter at the end of 2019, so I've not made my way back there and probably just won't. But still on YouTube and Facebook, Brighteon. So please check those out. Like the likes, subscribe the subscriptions if you can. All that being said, hold on to your hats, sit back, get you maybe some tea, some water, notebooks, some writing implements, and get ready to take notes, because we're once again in the Anomic Age with guest Jason Edwards. Stick around. He'll be joining us in just a mere matter of moments. All right, thanks once again for joining us in the Anomic Age. It is my indeed pleasure to welcome Mr. Jason Edwards into the Anomic Age this evening. Full disclosure, I heard Jason on InfoWars about a week and a half ago, and I was blown away with the stuff he was bringing to the table, and lucky enough to get a hold of him, contact him, and even luckier to have him on the show this evening. So he's just really going to get into his story, his journey with Christ, talk about anything he wants to talk about. I was just blown away about the message he was delivering. But what you don't hear quite that often is kind of the positive side of this whole thing. There is a bigger plan. It's not just us little humans dancing around on this globe. There is a absolute Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the helm of this thing. Not as to say we shouldn't do anything, because we have to do something, but it's not all on our backs. So once again, Mr. Jason Edwards, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Age, for having me.
Absolutely.
Greatly appreciative of the invite and the invitation, and wouldn't miss it for the world. I appreciate your content and your honesty. I think that's the greatest quality that you have is you are honest with what you express. So I greatly appreciate that. And once again, thank you for the invitation.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely my honor. I was so excited to get a hold of you because I was listening to it and taking notes and going, man, he's got to talk more because this is blowing me away here. I want more info. So I'm glad you're on this show as well, just to give people all that life knowledge that you talked about. I'm not sure where to begin with everything, but I mean, you could get into a little bit about yourself or your journey with Christ, because I know you touched on this a little bit. Like myself, you haven't always lived the straight arrow path.
No, not at all. Not at all. Once again, thank you. And it's funny how it all began, because that day, matter of fact, I was the day before the Alex Jones invite to be on his show. I was sitting at work, and it was prior to the show starting. It was a Monday. I can't remember what day it was. Doesn't matter. Either way, I was sitting at work. I believe it was Thursday, and I was really just spending time in my prayer, because I work for Christian Broadcast Station. And in that, you know, I'm the traffic manager and studio director. So I like to spend time in an area of reverence, right? But I don't know how often I'm talking to myself, put it that way. So on this day, I heard a voice, or not even a voice, but it felt a nudge, like, you're going to call Jones today. I want to call Jones today. I'm like, no, I'm not going to call Jones today. I have a full day. I got to do this. I got to get up, download that, da, da, da. Like, I don't have time to be sitting on hold for 3 hours and not get called, basically was my whole argument. Then it's like, no, you're going to call Jones today. I'm like, I haven't even been listening to Jones. If he does take callers, first time callers, and I'm having this conversation and this dialogue.
Okay? Yeah, talking yourself out of it.
Not even so much talking myself out of it, but just like, this is not what I want to do. Like, I mean, let's get this clear. I have a lot of work to do this day. And long story short, I look at the clock, it says 9:51. And I'm like, all right. Just to silence this nudge. Whenever it comes on, if he opens up the phones and it's not for first time callers, then I'll call. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, halfway through the first hour, he's like, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Nothing new. Okay. He does this, but sometimes he doesn't. And I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Haven't listened to Jones in a while. And here it is, open up free for all phone calls. I'm like, all right, well, I'll do it. Fine. I call three times, get the busy signal. I'm like, see there, I'm talking to myself. Totally not it, man. Totally not it. Like, good. I didn't want to wait on hold. Let me get to this work. And God's like, well, what I felt was the nudge of God. I was like, well, do you really ever get through on that number? Or is it the other number that you use? And they're like, okay, because I deliberately used the other number, the 877. I was like, I'll use this. And I'm like, okay, let me see. I'll try the other one just for entertainment purposes. It rang. I'm like, oh, no. Okay. It rang 2-3 times and picked up. I'm not even waiting.
Oh, man, like, now you got to talk.
Spooked out of my mind, okay? Because I'm like, oh, no. And I was like, okay, so it's clear for this past 30, 45 minutes. Thanks, God. I appreciate that once again, listening to me. So did you catch everything I said before this started, though? Or whatever. But anyway, so I'm like, all right. I quickly am humbled, and I grab a pen and paper, and I say, okay, God, what is it that you want your people to hear? What do you want to say to your people? I will allow myself to be a conduit, not really within my studies and trying to get there and understand that God has been a force in my life. So to understand, like, if this is really the move of God, then I need to take this serious. And I write down everything that I said. And first of all, he didn't interrupt me when this is the first day, you know, before the interview. And I was like, well, that's weird. And so I had enough time to get out everything that I wrote and then some, you know, because I'm trying to rush it all through. And it's like, how you stay so calm? And I was like, whoa, that was not me. That was the Holy Spirit. First of all, Spirit is one. Don't get it mistaken. I am not doing anything here except for being obedient. I'm trying to learn this thing of obedience. Been a study of mine for many years. And this is crazy, right? So after all that goes down, he's like, you know what? Because I've called before and he said, hey, we're going to start this call-in show. But really, I don't just call to hear myself. You know, I really feel that God is speaking through me to people. And that's an arrogant place to live. I don't live in that place. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I live in a humble place. And this has humbled me beyond my wildest imaginations. So then he invites me to the show and says, hey, next day, if you come on, come on. And now I'm scared. Okay.
Scared. Now he's giving you all kinds of time. That's scary.
He said 30 minutes, I'll take the 20. But here's the secret, man. It's not like I've done some unique things with the government and create my own jurisdiction. I love law. I love the study of such. So in my world, I've always been like, I want to get on Jones and tell him about this and how we can fight for the country like that. And here's the opportunity. And God has me speak more about the relationship with God. And I'm like, I didn't mention anything about my accomplishments, or it was not about me, you know? And so for you to reach out and for others to reach out and be touched, and it's like I say, a humbling experience to get on Alex Jones and profess not just my faith to the world, but say, hey, he wants that same relationship with you. Like, it wasn't me, if that makes sense. And that's the uniqueness that's, and I'm not bashing churches, but the mm-hmm. church is not a building. The church is a body, and we are the body. And here's the deal. We have been manipulated to believe the lie, to follow confusion, to live in destruction, to witness disaster. When you look at live, everything that is live, if you spell live backwards, it's evil. So when they say, we're coming to you live reporting, we're on the scene of a murder, and we're on the scene of this fire.
They're just propagating that evil, spreading it.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know any different from birth. Because especially now, what do? They set us in front of a smart device, making us dumb.
Yeah, it's always the inverse of whatever they say it is. So if it's a smart device, it's really a dumb device.
Yeah, the Patriot Act. Yeah. Right, for the communists.
Exactly right. Like, nothing what? But the most unpatriotic act they could pass.
So yeah, the National Defense Act. That means we could come detain you for forever without telling you why. You're like, really?
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's not American. That's so un-American.
Oh, yeah, so, it's not torture. It's rendition or extreme rendition. It's totally different.
That's good. That's good.
It just rebranded. That's what I always keep saying. It's kind of following the Edward Bernays playbook where he changed the Department of War to Department of Defense. It is rebranding. It's not slavery to wear your mask. It's just safety to wear your mask.
And you're selfish. I'm selfish right now. What? And you don't believe the science. I'm like, I'm not going to go there, but I am. So you're saying that I don't take, we're talking about a water hose, okay? And a faucet, you know, outside a spigot, right? Mm-hmm. I take this female part or the male part, put it in female. Either way, this don't work unless I screw them together. And this is called a male and this is called a female. And it works that way with plants and it works that way with animals. And don't get me wrong, I understand like some fish are both genders and they do all these other things. I get all of that if you want to say gender, mm-hmm. but it's still a male going from a female or vice, or more so a female going to a male. And this is a unique thing because I learned that mammals, you know, in their beginning stage before birth, or, you know, we have the XY chromosome.
Exactly.
We're all female. I'm like, that's spooky.
But God said,
in the beginning, he created male and female. Let us create man after our image, after our likeness. Male and female, let us create them. This is in Adam. This is before Eve. Mm-hmm. So I don't really even get into the whole gender concept thing of you feel this way, you feel that way, but we know this for sure, you're either male or female as far as piping and all this other stuff. Now you can't be both because it's a mammal thing.
Yeah, and it's so wild thing.
But how can I not believe the science when you're saying you don't believe the science in the mask? No, I don't believe lies.
Yeah,
because in lies there's no truth, and all these lies will never equal the truth.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid. My dad was an electrician, and you know, you're connecting conduit and connecting couplings and all kinds of stuff. And he would always say it just like you did. He would say, you got to get the male into the conduit and put it into the female connector and so forth. And, you know, you're a little kid. You're like, oh, that's silly. You know, you always, you make the silly little kid jokes. That's just weird, Dad. You know, I don't talk like that. But, you know, as I got older and looking at it linguistically, from your perspective, what you're just saying, I'm like, man, that is it. That's the universe right there. It's the plant. It's the ape. It's the dog. It's the cat. It's all that stuff.
Think about the men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. Remember those books back in the day? It was like there was the masculine, even the language of Espanas, or, you know, Latin, Hispanic, that you have the male. And then you have the female, you know, as far as when you speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And it's the masculine, I should say, and the feminine.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In our words. So think about that. That's beyond science. But, I mean, it is a science. Words are a science. We are creators that create with our words. What's unfortunate is we haven't, how should I say it? We've been taught to create the wrong things mm-hmm. by way of the massive media. What's media? A medium. What's a medium? An intercessor, a witch, a sorcerer. So we're like mass media are the fake news, right? Or we just say the mainstream media. Well, what are we saying? Those people that we have elected to plug into ourselves mm-hmm. to intercede with another side. Unfortunately, we have not, how should I say, we've literally been taught not to connect with the other side. The positive side. That's why, God dang it. Da, 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 da. Whoa, no. Why don't we reverse these things and say, God, thank you for the bad times. God, thank you for the good times, because I know that you control both. You're not taught that.
Yeah.
You're not. We're taught like, man, da, 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 whatever. And it's the words. We speak a foul language, right? Where we say curse words. We understand these, like some of our earliest words besides ball, dad, and mom. Are other words that we shouldn't be picking up, four-letter choice words, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
And so with that, like I say, God is in control. And the fact that we ignore, back to the media part, is that's why I say God's stream media. If we could take back, in other words, the media that we should be intercession is letting God stream through us. But we don't understand that to be a constant. There's never been a day in my life that the sun has not risen. I might not have always seen the sun, but the consistency of the action of the sun says that it is in order. So in the same manner, I should order my life in a consistent construct. But that's why I say the Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Because if you get this in, then you are this, how should I say it? God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth, you know, and he says, but we're an enemy of God if we live after the fleshly things. Now, I'm paraphrasing a few scriptures,
but the
gist of what I'm saying is, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will follow. All those sound like cliches, but if you apply them, you know, the proper application of the word, you don't even have to call it God. You don't even have to call it Jesus. I mean, this is the basis of where change comes from. You know what I mean? And I struggled with that in my form of believing in the creator. You know, I had to come to these commonalities that made it better for me to feel in my system of belief. Like, well, I don't know about if I believe about Jesus, but I'll say God. I believe in God, or I believe in the creator, and I ask the creator for, I believe in the higher power, the man upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
We have all these terminologies. And then God showed me, he's like, just call me the word. I'm the word. And he shared with me John, or Gospel of John chapter 1, first verse. And it says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. You know, and I was like, whoa. All was created through that word. I mean, I could get my Bible, I'm paraphrasing horribly, but to believe, it says, for those that don't believe is condemned already. You're like, well, geez, so I could believe all these things, man upstairs, higher power.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
all
blah.
Those cliches always come true, or for me, they do anyway.
But when we believe in the name of the word of God as a person, if we see the word of God as a person, because it also says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And for as many as received the word, meaning received the word, he gave them the power to be called the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. And his name is the word of God. This is in Revelation 19. So if we understand that we're children, okay, this is where in my past I was a gangbanger. I did a whole bunch of things that not so much, I was a teenager. And I was finding my way. But like I said on the show, I had a grudge with the judge. And I wanted to do everything, you don't want to say evil, like I was a bad, bad person. But I definitely didn't want to be on the side of good in the interpretation of what I grew up in seeing. You know, when my grandfather passed, I was 12 years old. Matter of fact, before the age of 12, I lost over 20 males that have been close to me. So when they say these Black Lives Matter stuff and, you know, the police brutality, it's not the organization, okay? But they are hijacking a plight within urban society. And the unfortunate aspect of the plight of the urban society is it has been brought about by a political party, if not political parties. See, America was not built by political parties. Okay. It's the people that, how should I say it? The government is involved in all kind of business, but it can't be. If we didn't pay taxes, the government wouldn't have any money because they can't enter into business. So they've constructed this licensee and licensor and the title and entitlements and all these other things to make us fall under. It's like, you got a business, you need to go register that with the Secretary of State. You're like, what? You want to be a church, you need to be a 501c3 to get an exemption. Well, I don't want to be exempt. I'll pay your stupid taxes. Or I won't pay your stupid taxes, right? But, and then back to the point of my ideology of seeing, like, wow, I've been through the opposition side. I served evil unwillingly or unwittingly as a gangbanger in my teenage years because I felt that the pulpit was being used to perpetuate lies. You know what I mean? And nobody was preaching like my grandfather and everybody was getting money, but you can't help this person with their light bill. Or you just watch sister so-and-so get evicted, but you pull up in a brand new Cadillac. What is wrong with you? Where is this at? You don't have a real job. You sit here and you're screwing this man's wife. What is wrong with you? You see what I mean? So all these things crept in the
all
church.
All too well, yeah.
And I had a grudge with the judge. Like, how would you let these things happen? Right? If it was real, you would be there for that.
I think for me, I was on different planes a little bit, but during the adolescence thing, just doing the same, you know, I was just mad. I was angry for what? It was kind of like that stupid, what the heck was it? Rebel without a cause. You know, what are you rebelling against? Like, I don't know, what you got? You know, I got everything. I didn't want to be going to church anymore because I thought that was kind of a sham and I never understood it. You know, it was kind of like all these stories. And I was like, all right, well, I got the stories, but what's that got to do with me? I don't know. Nobody could give me those answers. So I was just sitting there like, yeah, I'm not down with this God stuff. You know, I'm hard.
Yeah,
I'm tough. I got all this, I'm into all this hardcore and punk and all this stuff. And I just thought the whole Satan thing was a joke, to be honest with you. I thought it was a complete farce.
Because God is not real.
Yeah. I mean, I know the kids I used to skate with and hang out with and stuff, it was just kind of like, oh, this is funny. Yeah. I put 666 on my wrist and I'll draw these silly pentagrams and stuff. I wasn't into it. I just thought it was a joke. I thought it was like a spooky skateboard graphic or a stupid Slayer poster or something. I wasn't thinking it was legit. And, you know, looking back on it, I'm like, oh my dear Lord, thank you for not sending me to the exile zone at 13, because you had every right to. I was just being a complete idiot.
Yeah, destroy me in my ignorance, right? But God so loved the world that no one should perish. And that's why he knows we can't do it alone. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why the Bible to me has become the greatest love story ever told. And I know that's crazy, right? Because you were like, well, there's so much. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that just makes you like, well, that is crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's so much supernatural in there. People, I kind of laugh when people are like, oh, man, no, this. I'm like, yeah, dude, check out the book, man. Yeah. He's talking bushes. There's fires in the sky. There's plagues. There's blood. There's just talking pillars of smoke and fire. Yeah. I mean, we were doing the Exodus story, and I'm like, man, that's a huge pillar of smoke. You know, to my daughter, I was like, yeah, God appeared, huge pillar of smoke in the day, huge pillar of fire at the night.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
pretty darn right. freaky, man. That's heavy.
That is heavy stuff, right? So here's the trick that I'm learning, and I don't mean that in a manipulation way, but I mean that in the way of saying, so just think of those stories, right? And then, because this is what's helping me. I'm still not there. I'm getting there. You know, I've still got things that I ask God to help me with and all of that good stuff. But when you think about the fact of, wow, the Red Sea was split, or just these things, and you think about them, Jesus walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the training process that I am doing, and I've been doing, and I'm working on it, is believing it. Do I really believe that the Red Sea was split? Do I really believe that not only Jesus walked on water, but Peter walked on water, not once, but twice? And like, what, twice? Yeah, and same verse or same area. You see, he walked on water. He said, Lord, if that's you, call me out. Jesus said, come. But here he didn't single Peter out. I believe anybody could have stepped off the boat and walked on water. But Peter was the one that believed that, hey, I could do like you do. You said all these things. God, call me out. Okay, come. Peter dropped down a boat, was walking on the water, and was walking towards them. Then got distracted or whatever happened and started to sink. And he said, Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stretched out his hand, picked him up, and they walked together onto the boat. And once upon the boat, and they're like, what? Wait a second, I missed something. I just discovered that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Like, wait a second, not once, but twice? Yeah. Jesus picked him up, and they walked to the boat. And once upon the boat, Jesus said, why did you doubt? For what reason did you doubt? In other words, he didn't say, good job, man. He was walking on water, man. Yeah, man. Jesus was like, dude, what happened? You was doing it. Why'd I have to pick you up?
Why exactly.
You were a little faith, man. You was doing it, dog. You're like,
oh, had that wow. doubt for just that second. That's all it took.
You got it, Brother H. You got it. Just that 1 second of doubt. But when you are focused on the King and nothing else, you can do impossible things. I didn't know that. But I was wondering, why is nobody preaching with the fire of my granddaddy? Well, maybe God chose you to do it. No, God didn't choose me to do it because I do this and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've heard that, well, not specifically that, but, you know, I've sort of gotten that twinge before, and I say the same stuff. I'm like, man, I have fouled up a lot of stuff. Like, I am, just today alone, I could write a dissertation on all the wrong mess that I've done today in the last 12 hours.
Right. But here's the deal. You've been commissioned. You didn't reach out to me because John Age had a great idea. Okay. The moment we start thinking and start acknowledging that these thoughts that we have as a man so thinketh, you're a reader, I'm sure you've heard mm-hmm. of the book, if nothing else, that there so is he. So if we think that we're going in at it alone, or we think that, oh, nobody's there to help us, or we think that, oh, that wasn't a great idea. Well, we blow off some of God's greatest ideas because we don't think we're that smart. Well, we need to acknowledge we're not that smart. Okay.
That's the truth.
Our ideas are very dim when in place with God's great, bright ideas of light. And here's the deal. He wants you to create. So your obedience to reaching out to me is a confidence and an insurance that I need. Does that make sense? The Spirit is one. So you are confirming God's word in the natural from what I've received in the Spirit. And you are commissioned to go out through the world and do these things, which is what you're doing now. God has prompted you to make a platform. And yeah, we get discouraged by the enemy in every shape, form, and fashion. You better believe it. That's what he's there for. He's our enemy. What good is a fight if you're fighting yourself? This ain't Fight Club.
That's the truth, man.
So we're just operating in that newness of God's stream media, and God wants to stream his medium, his message, his divine connection through people like us. And we don't believe it's there. And you're like, well, are gay people going to heaven? It's like, well, you're worrying about the wrong things, man, because God could use them too. Like, but yeah. It's abominable. And it's like, well, see, there you go. There you go. You tell me what it means when God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and you know, male and female, let us create them. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a spirit of confusion that's over people, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. but God will use them, because I believe those things are spirits. And if we don't give ourselves to the spirit of God, then we will be subject to all of the spirits out there that are not of God.
Yeah, man, what you were saying, it was ringing so true to me. It's that Marshall McLuhan. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. The medium is the message. That quote, yes. From, you know, 20, 30 plus years ago. But yeah, I mean, what you're saying, that's it, man. The medium is the message. That God stream media, he wants that message sent to everyone, not just me and not just you. And, you know, there's somebody just like me. There's tens of people, thousands, probably just like me, that heard what you were saying and it hit them. And they're like, man, that's what we need more of. We need more of that God in the conversation, and not so much, well, we maybe shouldn't bring God into this again. I'd say, no, because we need to bring it. God into it more, way more.
What was the rules back in the day? We don't, you know, especially the bar rules. You're probably from that era. Even the party scene, whatever, it doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. you don't talk religion, and you don't talk politics.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But now the world has transformed into religion and politics. And I'm like, wait a second. That's not how I was raised, you know. And God has showed me something this week, that the battle and the war is really simplified. And he broke it down. So we could look at China. We could look at the Democrats. We could look at our politicians. We could look at whatever. We could say even Trump, for that matter, needs to do this. Trump needs to do that. And God showed me that it's really, it's like the battle is really simple. And it's right there in the book. It's truth versus lies. You're like, wait a second. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's like, well, hey, you don't even have to say, and God I trust. He's like, just take me out of the equation. I'm like, really, God, take you out of the equation? He's like, metaphorically. Like,
yeah, of course.
Metaphorically. He's like, but say, not in God we trust, but in truth we trust. See, let's use that same word game and word magic that they've been using with us. You know what I mean? As far as them saying, like we were speaking earlier, the Patriot Act really is like the Communist Act, and yeah. the National Defense Act is really to incarcerate you and you know, indefinitely, or like you say, the War Department was transformed into the Department of Defense. So all these things are opposite, but the way we bring God back into this is just using the words. Like, so you don't believe in truth, but we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. But we don't even have to call him Jesus. We call him the Word of God, because that is also a name. And mm-hmm. it's like, once I started researching the name of God, or the names of God, but more so the name of God, I rested upon few things. The Word of God, jealous, like, you know, it said, thou shalt not have any other God before me, for mm-hmm. I'm a jealous God. My name is jealous. What we miss in that scripture, or for his name is jealous, what we miss in that scripture is the J is capitalized. So we know that even in the John 1 that I showed you, that I mentioned, the W is capitalized. The word is capitalized. So mm-hmm. that's how we know that when things are capitalized, it's a person, place, or thing.
Yeah.
Segue briefly into the all caps name. Are you a person, place, or thing? And then when it comes to the language of the law, a person can be a corporation, a vessel, a sole proprietorship. So also a human being. But if you don't step up saying I'm a human being, then they'll classify you as to what person or what type of person you are. And so back to the whole Godstream media is it's he who controls the language controls the law and the learning. And what's been going on is we've been allowing them to control the language, which is allowing them to control the learning. And now they're trying to control the law. Defund yes. the police, really? But when you look into it, defund the police. Well, what departments are you defunding? Human trafficking, sex kits from rape kits, domestic violence responses, homicides. In my town, there's 5 homicides in 48 hours at the same park, man, within the past week. And they're like, what? And I'm in a Democratic stronghold. Well, a formerly Democratic stronghold, because how come everybody else can have a parade, but we can't have a Jesus parade?
Mm-hmm.
How come we can't gather around the world for a Jesus parade? We do it here in my town. We've done it for X amount of years. They transformed it in, or excuse me, 4 years. And this past year, they did it in Juarez, Mexico. So it spread, and it was bigger than it ever was in our town, 5,000 people. And, you know, that's a Catholic area, you know.
Yeah, predominantly Catholic.
Predominantly Catholic, but they all attended this Christian march and started to see the spirit of Jesus, to see the word of God in action. And God is saying, I'm ready for the revival when you guys are. Mm-hmm. We're not ready because we closed down the churches. But that's good, because judgment starts at home, right? And now God has come down to inspect our houses. And he's not happy with what he sees. But he's like, it's okay, because I so love the world that I don't want anybody to perish. So I'm going to give you a chance to get it right. Here's your opportunity. Do with it what you will. If you want to continue to think about it, all the entertainment's gone. God just unplugged the world just like that. Who do you think's going to plug it back in? These fools can't plan that good.
Yeah,
they can't plan that good. That's why Bill Gates and Fauci are like, I thought we was doing it. They were like, I thought we was too. Yeah, but you built your existence on lies, man. And the lie is the native language of our enemy, the devil. So whenever they lie, they're speaking their native tongue. It says the devil is the father of all lies. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm roughly paraphrasing these things because I don't want to turn it into a full-blown Bible study. But
yeah. But I mean, what you're saying is so spot on, though. I mean, just the language thing itself is so powerful. But yet most of the public just sort of, you know, they're just talking. It's no big deal. I mean, if you look at the word, he spoke this into existence. He spoke that into existence. Just like the power of the voice, even. I mean, if you look at the... Or sound, like the Jericho walls coming down from the trumpets and the...
So now you know why they want you to wear the mask, because if you wear the mask...
Yeah. I'm saying,
now you know why they want you to wear the mask, because if you wear the mask, they're trying to take away your power. They know God is coming. You see,
man,
what I'm saying?
Man, that's so spot on.
So they're like, oh, you can't come in without a mask. I'm like, man, here's my email from the governor. Back up. And you need to treat people a lot nicer. Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. because this is the reality of the function, like you say, of the word. There was no deliberation when God said, let us make man. But what are we told from birth? No, 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 no.
Yeah.
Don't stop. What are you doing? Don't do that. Stop. No, don't. So when your kid turns around, he's like, no, no, no. You don't tell me no. What the hell you been telling him for the last 2 years?
Exactly, man.
What else you supposed? And our Father is so loving that he's saying, yes, 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 yes. Adam, what do you call this? What do you call that? What do you call that? They didn't exist. And I mean, even though they had a form, they didn't exist until Adam called them to existence.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't name those things. God created them. Said, what do you call this? What do you call this? What do you call this? Well, I call this that. Well, we're the image and the likeness. This day, God places before us a blessing and a curse. A blessing if we obey, a curse if we disobey. We end up cursing ourselves. Oh, this day's going to be crappy.
Yeah.
This is going to be a crappy day because I got this to do. And boy, don't you know the universe has to follow everything you say? I'm going to get away from you.
I've been that guy many, many times.
I am that guy. What do you mean?
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. And my mom and other people were growing up like, you need to stop that. You're speaking this into existence. And I'm like, you know, it is what it is. I'm just doing what I'm doing.
Oh, man, we're going to get pulled over. Oh, man, it's the cops.
Exactly.
What did you just say that for, man? You see what I mean? And we create it and we don't even know. But it's when your thought and your heart lines up with what you're saying. So that's why I say, well, what's the harm in believing that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, the harm is if I don't believe that, then I'm condemned already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's it mean to be condemned? Well, what's it mean to be saved? Okay, cool. Well, I believe in God. Well, do you believe that Jesus raised from the dead? Do you believe that you have the power to raise the dead? I don't know. Well, okay, do you believe you can walk on water? I don't know. Well, do you believe Jesus split the Red Sea? I don't know. Okay, well, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe God split the Red Sea. I believe that I can do the same things that Jesus does. He says, because the things that I shall do, or the things I do, you shall do greater. And I'm like, I've always asked myself, well, what's greater than raising somebody from the dead? Well, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. We are called to destroy the works of the enemy, period.
And yeah. Like,
and win souls for the harvest. And you're like, well, that's crazy. Now, this comes from a hardcore gang banger that, you know, was out there with every your imagination. I wasn't doing no foul stuff to people per se, but I was hard and was like, no, because our organization functioned like a government.
Yeah.
We didn't sell hard drugs or anything like, oh, our sector didn't sell hard drugs. And, you know, people don't know things about gangsters. I mean, how should I say it? It gets convoluted, but there was ethics. There was order. There was structure. There was discipline in these organizations. And then they too were infiltrated by the FBI, same people that's infiltrating Trump now. And they destroy the strong leaders, but they make these laws and these constructs to ship manufacturing to China, which creates a vacuum. And when you, my grandfather worked for General Motors for 30 years, he fed 9 kids and grandchildren with his wage paycheck from General Motors. He had a house and cars in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Now that's a living wage. I mean, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely, now, man.
With that said, he could raise his family. Detroit, Michigan used to be the place to be, man. Mm-hmm. And the reality of that is you guys manipulated with these laws and shipped all those jobs to China. If you look at China's middle class and their technology, man, people forget Clinton was impeached, not for the dress thing and lying to Congress. We had the goods on him for selling the trade secrets to China. All that crap right now. Our Navy ship is on fire right now in the bay because of that crap that Bill Clinton did. And people don't want to acknowledge that. Furthermore, Obama allowed the military to buy chips from China. I heard a caller today on Jones say, man, I work for this company and blah, blah, blah. And you don't know how much of that stuff comes from China. I've watched this.
That's it, man.
Take away the jobs. Make it a crime to have the father in the household, but I'll give you money if you keep having the baby, says the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a better plan. Let's just kill them.
Yeah.
And we'll pay you for that, too. Yes. We won't pay you what we pay you. You're like, wait a second, man. It's all a construct of evil. Why? Because we have been taught to believe a lie, and the father of all lies is the devil. So we're training up our children by saying, no, 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 no. Equal, 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 equal. No, 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 no. The one thing we're not teaching them about is about the word of the Most High Almighty Creator. What we're not telling them is you are supernatural. But we'll go take them to see an Avengers. We'll grow up, we'll watch X-Men all day.
I can't even watch that stuff. It's just terrible. I can't.
Well, try watching it, because within that they use God's message and put a twist on it in every movie, almost everyone. It's something biblical. You're like, how do they do that? So they're really literally changed. It's alchemy, flat out alchemy. Man. Excuse me, I'm getting water.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about the Detroit thing, because over the 4th of July holiday, I was with my wife's family, who sort of live outside of Charlotte in the middle of North Carolina. And it was different than Detroit because they were making cars. But if you look at North Carolina, there were huge textile mills. They were making furniture. Oh, yeah. They were everything as far as that sort of stuff goes. And I got to talking to my aunt sort of privately. Everybody else was out. And I was just sort of asking, oh, you're from Rockingham. Oh, that's cool. And then she was saying, oh, well, it's terrible there now. Like they just shut down the Walmart. There's crime everywhere. It's a total despot. Bleep hole, you know.
I bet it's controlled by Democrats too, but I don't know. That's
I wouldn't doubt it, but I mean, I already knew the answer to this question, but I like to throw out the thought confetti. So I was like, well, what happened? You know, and she, without a pause, she was like, NAFTA, and just went off onto the, you know, the Bill Clinton NAFTA and GATT, how all the jobs got sucked out of the United States and shipped to China and Mexico and Vietnam and anywhere else.
And Ross Perot, yeah,
that's
favorite.
What happened. You know, much like Detroit, all those factories closed, everybody went on welfare, everybody was unemployed, and the ghost town of just what it was, it's a shell.
And surprise, surprise, you get the same economic turmoil when Obama's there for his 8 years that just decimated the rest of that. Oh, you got a business? You didn't build that. You have a house? Yeah. Well, you don't own that. Well, no, I got the deed. I paid it off. Oh, yeah, bull crap. Here comes the
exactly.
bank. And they're like, wait, this is illegal. The bank can't own property. How do you have my title? What do you mean you own my mortgage? You can't own nothing. You can't. Mm-hmm. You're a bank. You are here to hold my property. Oh, it's not mine. See, and they've, I don't want to, well, yeah, they've basically sold us down the river to China. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Biden is running for president and not, I don't want to go there because everybody has a process of trial or whatever due process, but some things are open and shut. And when you sell out your country, you are not afforded the same liberties, rights, and processes, meaning due process. So you have $1 billion that's unaccounted for while you're vice president, which is coming from China, and you're the party where your president was caught, or your party was caught selling trade secrets to the Chinese government. We can go into the Communist Party. We can do all this historical background, which is really Luciferian at the end of the day. But so you guys do these things to kids. You've controlled the, how should I say it? The triple D's, death, decay, and destruction is what the Democrats run off. It's not a surprise that, I don't trust anything with rats in it. So if you have the Democrats, you got rats in it. You know what I mean? So the Democrats are a bunch of rats that want you to be like them. And you're like, well, I don't want to make this political because America wasn't built by a political party, wasn't built by the Republicans or the Democrats. It was built by the people that pledged their liberty, that pledged their properties and pledged their lives. That, you know, we pledge allegiance, but most of us don't know what that is for or what that's about, right? But we was created so that we could freely worship, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're telling you, you cannot assemble and you can now worship. You know, like, well, they didn't say you can't worship. No, they said you can't sing.
Yeah.
You can't chant. You can't even talk loudly. Whoa.
That's pretty much it.
Where are we at? Well, because here's the deal. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and wickedness in high places, right?
Mm-hmm. That's so it right there.
These people, the control freaks, like I mentioned on the show, that's been in control, have... Once again, they're using the word magic. That's what I literally call it. And they're saying that we don't have the guarantees that's in our Constitution because we believe that they're rights. Well, you took the oath to the Constitution to uphold it, protect it, defend it, and carry out its orders. When you don't even consider the Constitution, you are in violation of your oath of office. Mm-hmm. And you should be brought up on charges. We should at least have you... censured, as they say. You should be a lame duck the moment you choose not to follow anything within the Constitution. You say, well, we're legislating this into law, and that's what the public health order says. I didn't elect no public health order. Matter of fact, I didn't elect you, lady. This is the common ground of our agreement. Whatever party you claim to be part of, you say you are going to meet at the middle in the Constitution. Then you have the governor of New Jersey saying, well, I didn't even think about the Constitution. You said that on national television.
Oh, yeah.
Why was the sheriff and the coat of arms from your state legislature not there to arrest you for a violation of oath of office? We could carry out the trial, but now, Lieutenant Governor, you're up, bud.
That's exactly how I feel. I keep getting more and more angry each day because I keep going, and then the people stood up, and I look around. I'm like, no, they didn't. I mean, here in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper, I guess, just makes some decree that everybody has to wear a mask. And I'm like, I mean, that's king sort of stuff. And we're not under a monarchy. We're under a governor. So how can he just from the office get on a press conference and say, everybody's got to wear a mask or you can't go to the store and all this other baloney? I'm like,
but tell him it's against my religion.
Yeah, it's not a stinking law. That's just some guy saying something. What the, you know.
But here's the deal. If we continue to allow their language, like I say, the language controls the law and the learning. Mm-hmm. Well, now Susie can be whoever she wants to be, and Johnny can be whoever he wants to be. But here's my pronouns.
Yeah.
Us, them, that. Hold on. Let me. Yeah, doctor over here. This over here. They call it state hospitals. Now, we don't want to. I don't want to offend anybody because I believe God is loving and meet us where we're at. And once again, my belief is these are spirits that we entertain. Mm-hmm. I entertain the spirit of violence, for lack of better terms. Like I had a pistol since I was 13 years old. You know, if there was. There was beef. It wasn't random violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had ethics. We had rules. No women, no children, no family members. Like, hey, if they're on your turf, they're with your turf. If they're representing a turf, they are a target. If they're not representing anything, you don't involve everybody in your crap.
Yeah.
And that was a thing. You know, there wasn't no drive-bys. And let me find you drive-by. Let me send, let my OGs find out you was doing a drive-by. What is wrong with you? If you're a man, look him in the white of his eyes. Mm-hmm, but you're exactly. Not down like that. You're not that guy, man. Unfortunately, I thought I was that guy. You know what I mean? And I didn't care. But my arrogance and lack of my carelessness was the absence of God. And mm-hmm. It's really that simple. And it wasn't so much the absence of God, like God wasn't there. It was my rejection of the Father. You know, my father, my real dad died when I was 6 months old. And it really bothered me growing up. You know, my parents were married and I grew up in the hood. You know, I was born in Colorado, but raised between Detroit and Colorado. I went to school in Colorado. Thank God for that. My mother worked for Hewlett-Packard. So I say I have the best of both worlds. You know, when I was, but every time there was a break in school or whatever, I'm in Detroit or even in my older life, I lived there for a few years. Mm-hmm. My family was involved in the darkest aspects of crime syndicates, minus sex trafficking and human trafficking, let's just for the record, but the selling of drugs. And I mean, on a big international scale to where I knew at an early age that my family worked with the feds, period. There was a certain way that the federal government wanted their money. And there's certain politicians and I mean, I'm young. I'm 8, 9, 10 years old, 12 years old, riding with my cousin, getting pulled over, sitting here, having this manila envelope to the, basically give me the lowdown, said, we're going to get pulled over once we hit this road. And once we get pulled over, you hand this person that. And it's a cop car. And
yeah.
Like, what the hell is this? Okay, here you go. All right, guys, have a boom. But because of that, we was able to continue with whatever was going on. So it sanctioned destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, within this sanctioned destruction, God is continuing. So that's the thing. The drugs, a way to remove God. The pedophilia, a way to remove God. The churches and the priests and all this other stuff. The manipulation of God's word. The pastor saying, oh, here's the holy word, but then you're sleeping with this guy's wife. And, you know, all that, these things that's crept in the wares, kind of like, hey, the garden was perfect. Where'd this serpent come from? You know what I mean? It's going to always be there. And if we entertain it, it will destroy us. If we entertain it, it will bring about it will devour us. Sin will devour us. And we're like, well, what is sin? Well, hey, you know right from wrong. I know I can't just go up to people and smack them.
Yeah.
I just can't even say things to you that if you're offended and I hurt your feelings, I should apologize. You know, not call you racist and I say all this other stuff, but we're just like, wait a second, but we can't have a dialogue. F you, F you, F you. Oh, you're a demon.
Yeah.
You're a demon. Well, I pray for you, but here's the deal. Mark 16, just read the whole chapter, but Mark 16 verses 15 through 20, basically is breaking down saying, Jesus is saying, basically, this is the signs that follow those that believe. they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. You know, they shall take up serpents and drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. And they went about healing people and doing all these things, and the Lord helped them. But this was after the Lord ascended. It's the last chapter in Mark. Nevertheless, the aspect of what I'm getting at is, within the believing, the signs that should follow. If you say you're a believer in Christ, then you should be able to heal somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not everybody, because it's that person's faith that's going to assist you in that, right? But I don't want to get all religious, but I'm telling you, the battle has been simplified for me. It's a matter of truth and lies. Do I believe I can do these things, or do I not believe I can? Because if I don't believe them, then I can't. But the moment I believe them, I can.
Mm-hmm.
But until I do them, will I believe? But that's the faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. God said, let there be light. I seen a crazy graphic of the speed of light. It was digitized, but it was the speed of light. How many times it goes around the earth? How many times, or not some, you know, how fast it goes around the earth? Speed of light, same measurements. How fast it travels from here to the moon. And it was like this, boom, 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 earth to the moon. Then how far, how fast it traveled from Mars to the earth. And it was like this. And then it showed how the speed of light, when it traveled from the earth to the sun, or, you know, from earth to the sun. And it moved like this, like so slow. You get what I mean? It takes approximately 3.5 minutes for the speed of light to reach us from the sun. If that makes, I mean, it's just, I would have to send it to you. But while we think of the speed of light of, I'm going to get in my bed before the dark, I'm going to hit the light out, right? So that's the speed of light. So you just think about that. We create in the same instance with our words. We'll say it, but it might travel at the speed of light from the sun. And we're bad because we don't see it yet. So we stop believing. Now we got to start all over again.
What you were saying about the doubt, I think, is so important for a lot of people to gather, because that doubt will sneak up on you. It'll get in like the camel under the tent flap. And before you know it, it's not just the nose, it's the whole camel in there. And you're like, oh, well, man, I don't know about this verse and that chapter. And it's so hard, I think, for a lot of people to do. But I was talking to my wife about this kind of recently, where people sort of pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to believe in. Or, you know, they'll go, well, you know, it says I can do this, that, and the other, and I'm doing this, that, and the other. But I don't know about that. You know, that's pretty judgy what he's saying, this, that. And, you know, I don't know if I believe all that. So it's a lot of this sort of fair weather Christendom, I think, promulgated by the churches. And for my money, I feel like that's what most people are getting. I mean, I've been getting more and more critical of the churches lately, because it seems to be like an extension of the bread and circuses. You got the light show and the lasers and the gift shop, and there's a full
coffee shop
coliseum. Yeah, the coffee shop. And I mean, I'm just waiting for some Christians to get sacrificed to lions down front, or some Roman gladiators to come out. And a lot of this stuff.
House of prayer to the den of thieves.
Yeah, that's exactly what it seems. I mean, ironically, I don't want to give too many details, because if anybody's listening from that church, they're going to know what I'm talking about. But I was talking to my mom just about pastor situations. And my point was kind of like, well, why would you have to talk to the pastor about this? Like, why would you have to draw out some sort of rules that you can't do this, that, or the other? Like, they're not God, but aren't they supposed to be like the leader of the flock in the church? And here they are doing stuff that people got to say, well, hey, you can't do that. That's not right. You're supposed to be doing this. You know?
Because they go to, and I've been having this conversation with God. I'm like, God, and it's for a few years now. How should I say? About 5 years ago, I said, okay, God, well, maybe it was a little longer, but I said, okay, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to be? I graduated from college, Full Sail University in business entertainment. And I started to see the just the woes of the industry. And I know that at a certain level, I mean, I was a recording artist. A lot of my friends are in the industry. I know there's only a certain level that you can get to without doing some other things, period. Mm-hmm. And I mean, people can research it on their own. It's the $50 million deal, you know? And within that, I said, okay, God, what do I want to do with my life? And I was like, well, I guess I'll follow after my grandfather's footsteps, who built a church with his bare hands that was saving souls all the way up until the coronavirus, but stood in Detroit, Michigan on the east side and saved souls every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, but he passed when I was 12. My point is that I was like, yeah, why wouldn't I? Because he was the most prolific individual when it came to the word of God to me. You know what I mean? It's like this man walked with God. And I don't say that because it was my grandfather and he wasn't holier than thou, you know, but before he passed away, there was a watch that I always looked at and I always wanted it. And I knew his time was coming short. Basically, it had a lot of health issues. And I have a cousin who's I'm an only child. And so is my other cousin, as far as my grandfather's daughters. Long and short, I've always wanted the watch. And we knew that his time was coming short. And my grandpa called both of us because we're the only males without brothers or sisters. And we're supposed to be the protectors. And he's giving us a speech and da da da. And he's like, okay. Yeah. TJ, I want you to have the watch. And it's the watch that I always wanted. And I was like, Grandpa, what's that, man?
Yeah.
I'm already upset, right? Yeah. And he's like, Jason, here's the Bible. His Bible. And I got the cover right here. Sorry about that. But it's falling apart. I've used it so much. It's a little dusty. But this is just the cover with his name on it. Mm-hmm. And it's a Hebrew Greek and King James Version Bible. So I get the Hebrew and the Greek concordances. I'm 12 years old. Sick, dying grandpa. I throw a selfish fit. I don't want this Bible. What is this? TJ's never even asked you for this watch. I wanted the watch, grandpa. You suck, in so many words.
Yeah.
My dying grandpa gave me his Bible. And with his inscription, his Sunday Bible. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I look back like, wow, the wisdom of my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Because he, in 1985, 86, I remember being a kid, we was watching the Tigers game. And he said, I'll just tell you two things.
Sure.
But he said, he talked about Macintosh. And he said about how Macintosh was the mark of the beast. And I was like, that's crazy, right? 86, 85, man. Right? So I'm young.
That's way ahead of the curve. I love this, man.
Oh, he would harp on it all the time, though. And he broke it down to how the bite and the apple, and I'm working on a MacBook, by the way. I don't own an iPhone, though. But so it's here it is all these years later, right? Definitely prophetic word. But he's like, no. So he used to have the rainbow colors. Remember, it was the apple and the rainbow. Yep. But it was Macintosh, not Apple. Apple Incorporated was a rebranding, but people don't know about the Church of Apple. They have a registered 501c3 Church of Apple in California. And it's been that way since the 90s. 95 is its creation. Either way, fast forwarding. And he said the bite in the apple symbolizes the willful disobedience of the garden. And I was like, what? Now, keep in mind, I'm 6, 7 years old, right?
Yeah.
But this is something that it wasn't common for him to rag about Macintosh or rag about Reagan, for that matter, in a lot of ways, what Reagan was doing. And you look at some of those laws. Yeah, great. Reagan was a great president. But Reagan also let the war on drugs just furnish. Like, this is your brain on drugs. And Bush accelerated that, you know, four-term president, which always made me wonder something like, wait a second. So these people do operate in the shadows. But back to the point with my grandfather, another thing he said, Dennis Rodman, you know, he's a basketball player.
Absolutely. Detroit Pistons. Yeah,
Pistons. As a rookie, I remember sitting watching the game with my grandpa. He said, something's not right with that boy. Something's wrong with that boy. This is Dennis Rodman as a rookie.
Yeah, those early Piston years, he seemed like the clean cut normal guy. I mean, especially compared to juxtapose that to the Bulls years and beyond. Yeah.
He just seemed like a hard worker on the court, man.
Yeah.
But my grandpa called that out. He's like, no, that boy ain't right in the head. And you're like, once again, I'm a kid. What do I know? What do I know? But he saw something and he had a gift. And now, all these years later, especially with the Alex Jones experience, this experience with you, Mr. Age, I got like 500 subscribers overnight, pretty much. It seemed like that. And not one, I promise you to goodness, not one negative comment. And I mean, 500 subscribers, I had 89. Now it's at like 587. And it makes me feel accountable and more responsive. Like, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do this. But God is like, I don't care what you want to do. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did say that. I mean, because it's only the hand of God that would get me on Alex Jones, that would have me profess God's word, and for it to be received and for it to resonate with others. That's not Jason Edwards. That's not me. That's nothing that I've done or accomplished. That it shows me how insignificant I am when it comes to the realm of obeying what the Father has told me to do. And you're like,
yeah,
that is where the fear of the Lord comes. And it's not fear like I'm afraid, but when you look at the Bible, every time a messenger of God or an angel showed up, it said, be not afraid, fear not. And you're like, whoa, why? Because God is that awesome that you can't do anything but be fearful. So the fact that I have a conversation to which what I think is in my head at work, you're going to call Jones, and then to be here with you right now, Mr. Age,
that's insane.
On whatever time somebody else receives it, is like, wow. So that's what obedience will get you, huh? Because it's not about fame. It's not about stardom. It's not about success on the level of whatever we imagine that in our previous existence. It's about being the best ambassador for the Father. You know what I mean? Like, you inherited a kingdom. You did nothing for that other than believe that you inherited a kingdom. Like, whoa, that's heavy. But they're not teaching that in church.
It is. It's heavy, man. I keep wanting to talk, but I don't want to interrupt you. You're doing so damn well.
I'm sorry. Let me stop because I
know it's hit me. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we were touching on this a minute ago before we got going about Proverbs, and it was just hitting me nights back because I tend to be a bit angry from time to time. Not at other people. I always kind of internalize, and you can probably relate to some level, but I was reading the Proverbs stuff, and I was going, man, that's me again. It was that voice. You're reading it, and you're like, hey, John, are you getting this picture, buddy? I mean, that's what I felt like God was doing to me. He was going, hey, how many times have I got to say this? You know, because I was reading and I'll paraphrase, but it was basically talking about having too much pride and thinking you can do it all by yourself. I don't know how many times for me personally, I got this. I don't need any help. I'm just going to do it all by myself. It's going to be great. And three times later, days, weeks, whatever, I'm still sitting there struggling instead of just saying that prayer and asking for the guidance and the help and the patience and everything. I'm sure that everybody else's experience, I just personalizing it to myself, but all that stuff, you just sit there and read it and you get the tap on the head or the shoulder or what have you. It's like, are you getting this yet, buddy? I mean, how many times I got to keep saying this? I'm envisioning God saying, I'm sure he's saying it much kinder than I'm delivering it to myself, but
it's the living word. See, so as you see it and imagine it in your head, as you explained to me, that's exactly how it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's a reflection of you. Meaning this is that it's the living word. Okay. And the word is alive, but that's why I say in John first chapter, the word is capitalized. For as many as receive the word, he gives you the power to become sons of God, or even to those that believe on his name. Now, here's the deal. This is something I've just started within the past year and a half, is identifying the word as a person, just like you and I are talking. Mm-hmm. So if I open up the Word of God, which is the name of God, I mean, I could get where I'm just going to start a study and practice to where we can really, I think we don't understand the Word of God because we don't understand the meaning of the Word, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The meaning of the Word is it's a person. So how else can I get to know God unless I'm communicating with him? But how does he communicate with me? Well, through his Word, right? Mm. So just like you said, tapping on the head, that is God tapping on the head and saying, it's okay, I got you, but let's start applying these things. Does that make sense? So why would I argue with a fool? A fool is one who says in their heart, there is no God. And you think about that, like, Anderson Cooper is godless.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Maddow is godless. All the, I mean, they're not godless in the sense of they have their God, but their God is the father of lies. So why would I get mad at these people for telling me their native language?
Yeah, lies. They're spelling it out for you.
They're spelling it out. And we're here live. We're here with the evil broadcast. And you're like, whoa.
We're here. I mean, that's the live. One thing that I've come to grips with in the past, just in the past few years. Like, they're going completely overt with everything now. At least as we were growing up, it was a little bit covert. You could sort of maybe, well, maybe Madonna's just doing this as some sort of stunt. And then it just becomes like they're doing a satanic ritual live on TV. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Like, it's a satanic ritual live on TV, folks. And now the halftime show.
So did you see the London 2012 games thing? Did you see that?
I believe so.
About the, okay, here's, sorry about that. But so the, in the two, oh man, you hit on it. I wasn't even going to bring this up. But so the 2012 London games, Olympic games.
Mm-hmm.
They have the picture of the coronavirus. So all the kids in the hospital bed, the creepy black, like that was the freakiest thing ever seen in my life, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying, and I would go back to watch it again if I was mad enough, if that makes sense. Because now it, but basically they were doing the ritual for the coronavirus, which is happening right now. I mean, when you look at the stadium, there's a solid screenshot picture of it, looks like a blue and green coronavirus full blown out. So they're just like I tell you about the military or the Wuhan games. Excuse me, military games in Wuhan, October 19th through the 27th, 2019. In their opening ceremony, they tell a 2.5 hour story of how they're going to basically conquer the world. So like you say, the frustration and the anger, being in entertainment, and even before then, it's my lineage. God has allowed us to see behind the veil. It's like Jones says, you stare into it. It's like I read their documents, but then I get to a place where I'm almost shearing off of them. And you're like, yeah, that is crazy. It is. So that anger that we feel is that, it's that looking at it so much. And like, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, now God is like, hey, calm down. It's cool. Revival time. Last time. Because there's also the mark of God. See, we're worried about the mark of beast. Everybody looking for the mark of the beast. Ain't nobody talk about the mark of God. Those with the mark of God don't have to go through a lot of those things. Those that led off captive will be led off captive. Those that live by the sword will die. So all those people that's been doing the bad things, now it's coming back to them. The chickens are coming home to roost. And we look at Trump like, oh, Trump's doing this. No. God is doing it. And the moment we believe that God is in control, all of it, it's going to seem like a faint nightmare. Like, but that really is happening now. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes. And we can stop living in that world of reaction and just start acting. Not acting in the sense of the entertainment industry, but acting in accordance to God and not reacting to the fear du jour of the day.
Like I say, if they're presenting halftime shows of satanic rituals and we don't even believe there's a devil, let alone a God, let alone we're the child of God, let alone we have power, the same power of God. The mind of God is in you. You create with the same words of God. Like God breathes breath into your nostrils. So are you seeing your breath? Or are you seeing God when you, you know what I'm saying? We've seen the cold day, but we think that we're breathing. How about I'm inhaling and exhaling the spirit of the Most High Living Creator? You're like, well, that's a crazy imagination. It is. But I'm trying to make it a reality. You see what I'm saying? Because once I make it a reality, then I can do the things that's greater than Jesus. You do things greater than Jesus? Well, Jesus said I could, so I believe that. If Jesus said it, I believe it. What's greater than raising someone from the dead? Destroying the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're called for, John. That's it.
I mean, it's strange how they try to completely say, none of this is real. None of this Bible stuff's hogwash. But then you look at the actions of these people, and they're fully fomenting a spiritual, supernatural plane over here while simultaneously telling you, don't believe the Bible. We're not doing anything over here. Don't worry about what we're doing.
But let's gather all the witches together and cast spells on Trump. What?
Yeah. And I mean, I know my audience is tired of me talking about this because I keep coming back to what I know best. And I'll just say it, the cult of academia, the cult of academia, K-12 indoctrination, college, university, weaponization. That's where so much of this mess is just gone completely overt, over the top, and insane. And like you said a moment ago, most of the folks in the cult of academia aren't going to profess any faith for Jesus Christ, but they'll profess all day Darwin. And no, there's no God, but we got a Darwin statue outside. We can't have a Jesus statue, but this Darwin guy's got it all figured out. And if you start to unpack all those theorists that they're so quick to bow to, there's a lot of darkness connected to all those folks. There's a whole lot of occultism with the Galtons and the Wedgwoods and the Huxleys.
The Russells.
Yeah, the Bertrand Russells. Goodness, the Rockefellers. Man.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that ruled. Same thing. You start to wonder, well, the Bible's not real. What about all these guys? Like, you're bowing to something here.
Think about it. If the Bible wasn't a threat, then they wouldn't outlaw it.
Yeah.
If the Bible wasn't a threat, they wouldn't burn it. So if Jesus, and this is what brought me to the belief on the name of Jesus, whether it's Yahshua, Yahweh. I mean, mm-hmm. I've studied all religions. I could get into the mundane, like you say, academia. It is that, because they're teaching us a system of belief, right? When belief should come natural, because when we're youngest is when we believe the mightiest. We could mm-hmm. believe we're a Power Ranger. We could believe we could jump off stuff and not get hurt, you know? And so within learning these things, we're taught to be everything under the sun except for a child of the Creator, which is wrong. So mm-hmm. what brought me to the belief in Jesus, or the name of Jesus, was saying, what can't you say in the world? You know, we know it now. You can't say Alex Jones or else you'd be banned, but definitely around the world, no matter where you say Jesus in Saudi Arabia, and it's not in the context of the Quran,
it's not going to be a good day.
It's not going to be a good day. You say Jesus in China without the approval of Xi Jinping.
Yeah, another bad day. You might end up in a work camp at best.
So we start labeling all the countries where you can't say Jesus. And I said, oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I better start using it before I lose it.
Yes. And it's getting whittled away right now.
I have this construct. I have some notes. I don't really want to get into them, but I could. But I have this. God has showed me, and it's not a parallel. So what do you call a parallel of threes? I don't know, but either way, it goes across. So when we think about politics, right? Politics, we have the Democrats. Well, let's just not even say Democrats.
Yeah.
And now you have, well, right, because that's the latter, right? We all know exactly. The three rungs. So it's Democrats, but then we say Democratic Socialists. So this is where the first rung begins. Democratic mm-hmm. Socialists is what they're introducing. Then you have socialism. Socialism leads to communism. Okay. Then we got on the other side. When you read Revelations, you have the false prophet. You have the beast. You have the Antichrist. or the dragon. All of them lead to Satan. So when you look at it as a parallel, democratic socialist, false prophet, socialist, antichrist, communism, Satan. Do you see each, each level? Yeah,
it's a gradual progression.
For the false prophet speaks through the democratic socialist. The antichrist speaks through the socialist. Satan controls communism. You say, why is that? Because if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not to mention seeking whom it may devour, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's the democratic socialist say? We need to defund the police. What's the socialist say? We need to be in control of everything. What's the communist say? Off with your head. Period. We're not fighting politics, man.
Nah, we're not.
And if we don't realize where it ends up, Mr. H, then I tell you, well, I take that back. As I mentioned, God is doing a new thing. He's anointed you. He's anointed your audience. He's anointed your family. He's anointed those non-believers too. Because in the last day, he'll pour out his spirit amongst all flesh, right? So here's the deal. Now you have been charged to go not fight and fuss with these people. Not, because I say, if you argue with a fool from a distance, people can't tell who's who. Why?
That's right.
What do I look like? What do I look like? A man of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Literally, right? An astute student of the law of the Lord. You know, let the law be written on your heart. Let the words of the Lord be. And we knew something was up when they was taking the Ten Commandments out of courthouses.
Yeah.
I mean, you were becoming a lawless nation. Well, the son of perdition is the son of lawlessness. If you look around the world right now, there's a spirit of lawlessness. So are you going to tell me we're in the last days or not? So who are we really fighting? Joe Biden? China? It's not about China. These people represent the devil in the flesh, period. You're like, oh, really? That's crazy. I'm not going to argue with you. God bless you. Have a good day. Got to keep moving. Why? Because if this stuff will destroy me and eat me up from the inside, because that's what it's designed to do.
You can say it. Yes, you can say that again. That's where I'm at now. I don't know if it's just getting older and I want to conserve my energy for what matters, but I think it really is, because I'm just like, good. Go for it, man. I'm going to go home and sit around, go to sleep, talk to anybody but you, because it's just it's a drain. It's like that vampire.
Well, here's
not the literal... A literal vampire, but it's that psychic vampire.
No, it is a literal vampire, you know. Because if we let it, because you got to think, it's more than the bite. The bite is the allegory, right?
Yes.
The bite is the allegory for becoming evil and lawless and wicked, right? To where we love and desire that, and we want to make more people that way. Well, that's the allegory of God. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
I love the world. No matter how much drugs you've done, I want to save you. No matter how much bad and evil you're cursing, how many drunk, I don't want to condone any violence, but hey, I understand that's a spirit operating in you. It's called beer, wine, and spirits. It makes you not yourself. You know what I mean? So if you're like, oh, I'm sorry, baby, it was just, I'm not saying I'm that way, but we know individuals that have let the spirit of anarchy, lawlessness, deception, violence come upon them, and it really wasn't them. They really didn't mean to do that. They're like, I don't know what came over me, but we don't want to believe in demon possession. So when we see these people acting out, hitting the walls, and why is Antifa laying on the streets? Why are them demons laying on the streets? But here's the power of God. You have the power to expel those demons. So I had an incident today, the mask situation, because this is what's going on, right? They're creating the conflict with the mask. I don't wear a mask. It's against my religion. But I also have small bronchial tubes, and I read the mandate, and it's not such. They always have to leave you a way out. But I have a medical condition, and we can go there if you want. You won't get my dollars. It doesn't matter. But I walk in without my mask, as I normally do, because I could care less about your lie. And I believe I have power over all manner of illness and sickness. And if you are sick, I believe I can heal you. If you believe I can heal you. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about something that they had to make up and give a name. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Because
I know a name above all names. The World Health Organization and the UN and the CDC, everybody got together and they named this Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Man named that. Well, I know a name above that. Nevertheless, back to the story of the mask. Well, his name is Jesus. Let's get to the point. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke your mask. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. You're like, well, yeah, I know, right? So back to the point. I will go to walk into the store and the lady's like, oh, we're at capacity. You can't come in. And next time you come in, bring your mask. You're going to have to wait outside, but come in with your mask. I'm like, well, I don't have one. And I have an exemption. You know what I mean? I have small bronchial tubes. I'm not really going to get into the freedom of religion. I'm not going to go there mm-hmm. with you, basically. Yeah. Like, well, you can't come in here without a mask. I'm like, you're silly mask police. You're funny. Go get your manager. Go get your manager. Manager mm-hmm. comes out. Oh, sorry, we just can't have anybody else in. I'm like, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. I have small bronchial tubes and it's a health exemption. And here's the mandate right here. And if you scroll up a little more, here's the letter from the paralegal of the governor's office and her attorney, the governor's attorney, saying, I don't have to wear your stupid mask. But we as Americans aren't taking it to that level. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to take advantage of us as long as I can. So I'm not going to sit here. So end of the story is I walk in the store and do my business. I have to abide to your 10-person rule or whatever. Yeah. But you don't see me in a mask. There was no pushback on the mask. The mask police lady, I said, get your manager. Oh, how you doing? I'll bet you don't want to check me out. Have a good day. God bless you. Because you're a child of God too. Why would I want to offend you because you have chosen to believe the lie mm-hmm. instead of exposing yourself to the truth? You don't even want to read this mandate. They just tell you and you, the governor said. Yeah. And you know what? The governor also said she's going to abide by this oath. She took up the oath to my guarantee of worship freely. My guarantee to assembly freely. My guarantee to Second Amendment, whatever that. And we're not talking about violence. We're talking about you think you're going to regulate. She shut down the gun stores where I'm at. Mm. I'm like, what do you mean? You can't do that. That's a guarantee. You mean yeah. I can't go to my local gun shop? Okay. We're at war. Pick a side. I'm not your enemy. God bless you. And that's where we're at, Mr. H. We're at war. Pick a side. I'm not your enemy. God bless you. I love you in truth. You know what I mean? You Absolutely. Love the lie more than you want to admit that there's a truth out there. That's the allegory of the bite with the vampire. I love the lie so much. I will follow him wherever I go. Bram Stoker's. That was a weird, twisted movie, but so much truth. They told you the real truth in Bram Stoker. Read the book.
Yeah.
Read the book.
That's the scary thing is they're telling you the truth if people want to put the they live glasses on and start reading this stuff for what it is instead of just this, oh, it's a whimsical fairy tale. It's a guy in a cape and yeah.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time and also Absolutely, allowing man. Me to.
I think that's a good spot platform. To leave it right here, man.
Are you sure? I know it's getting late in both of our worlds, but
I was gonna say, you know, that's a perfect spot to leave it. Is the way you just said it, is that we are at war, and people have to pick a side. I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to. It's sadly, it's the good versus evil, like you said, straight from the Bible. It's just that simple. There's the word. And then there's what everybody can choose to do, but it's not very convoluted or complex. It's just, here it is. You know, you should choose this path of righteousness or you can choose this path of destruction, you know, to your own folly. But
the word says there's pleasure in sin, but for a season. That's, mm-hmm. that's God telling you the truth, saying, oh, I know it's fun, but you're going to have to give it up one day. But there's that's something true. So much greater. But oh, yeah, it's fun to drink, get with the girls, and to look at my car, and I got the money. I'm doing what I want. I am free. But Jesus is the one who truly sets us free. And by one that was captive, that's where we're at. We have to remember our brothers and sisters are held captive in the lie. And the lie is that you're not one of the most powerful beings in existence. But choke on this Avengers movie Endgame real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Learn about Loki and Thor and all this mythical stuff. But you could say something, and at the speed of light, it's going to travel to you. And you're going to create it. If you don't doubt.
That's heavy stuff right there. Thank yeah, a lot of people think these names that they're picking for these movies, they're just, they made them up or something. No, they didn't make these names up. There's power in the words, just like you said.
That's it. And I read a book called Beyond the Lens, and then we'll end. And in that, it was a spiritual book, but it said that just as there's those allegories of evil, God is also trying to communicate through each movie too. Mm-hmm. We just need to look for God in it. I'm like, that's weird. Because when it lays out, the tree of knowledge. Both good and evil existed, coexisted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
About forth knowledge. So in these movies, it's the allegory of God, but it's up for us, up to us what we see. So once mm-hmm. again, we're at war. Pick a side. God bless. You know what I mean? Because that's where we're at. And it's once we take a look back. But when you, I hate preaching, but when you accept the word, all things become new and you're able to look back and see exactly where the Father was with you every step of the way. And that also creates the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord that they have, the evil ones and the wicked ones, in control because they know their time is short.
And it is. Well, thank you so much, Jason Edwards, for being in the Anomic Age with us this evening. We could talk all night. We got to do this again. This is too much fun. How can anybody find out more about you or follow you on the usual suspect social media sites? How can they get a better glimpse of what you're doing?
Well, on the enemy battlefield that we are infiltrating, Twitter and the other social medias, it would be – and go ahead.
I was going to say, I still got to somehow make another account to get on Twitter. They kicked me off at the end of last year. So no, I got to get back on there.
See, and that, but don't, because I had a revelation that here soon, none of it's going to matter. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that is there's going to be new things like your parlors. But if we really believe that they're doing what they're doing, then they will not be around because they've broken our laws. The most fruitful of our laws, the right to assemble our communication. So don't get, look for a new platform and I'll gravitate there with you. But either way, on the YouTube, it's Informal Warfare. And on the Twitter, it's at Code Cash, G-O-V, code with a K, K-O-L-D-C-A-S-H-G-O-V on Twitter.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Jason, thank you so much yet again. And if you'll stick around for like 2 seconds, I'll say bye to you off air.
Good deal. Thank you once again, Mr. H.
All right. Thank you so much, Jason. Wow. It's been a great show. It's once again a pleasure to have Jason on the show. Please check out all of his links. They'll be linked into the social media information on his bio on AnomicAge.com. So please check out AnomicAge.com if you have not already done so. And as I always in this whole thing, you can't do everything, but you can absolutely do something. So please try to get out there and do that little small part, no matter how insignificant you may believe it is. It touches someone else, and it can indeed make a difference. So until next time, be safe out there, and I'll be seeing you soon in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to bed.